Tanya and Steve, number one in Newcastle with McDonald Jones, the Hunter's leading home builder.
She set up the moth club. He likes candles in the bathtub. She loves a ricotta solo. He lives a carabolo. We start to pull the dealer. The bloke and the Sheila. Their boss is always in despair because their meetings happen on air.
And Steve.
Live from Honeysuckle and across Newcastle and the Hunter.
Celebrating 10 years.
Good morning.
Hello.
Welcome to Monday.
Well, I didn't think I'd turn up to work today and listen to you and Rise bang on about Taylor Swift for an hour and a half. But, next minute she's going to be in world literature and
no, I was just
she's basically the Shakespeare of 2024.
Well, that's what this professor of linguistics and literature was saying, that she should be included in the same vein as these, you know, Yeats and Shakespeare, because of the way she structures her words.
Yeah.
And the poetry. Forget the music.
No one takes it seriously enough because of the pop thing.
Yeah.
But you're right, if you get a bit deeper into it, but crikey, isn't she selling out?
Madness.
Huge.
The whole world is, not the whole world.
No.
Pockets of Australia are crazy for Taylor.
Well done, Tanya. Yeah. I like that. Then everybody's doing it. It's like pockets of people are doing it.
I walked into a weird little shop yesterday, and I say weird because it's one of those where I wonder, what the hell do people buy here?
Mm.
Because it's,
like,
you know,
a knick-knack store?
Like covered coat hangers and,
yep,
you know, a crocheted cross that you'd use as a bookmark. That sort of shop.
That is weird.
You know, a lot of tea cozy on teapots, sort of place.
I'm in the shop with you. I do. I look and go, who the hell would buy that?
I know. And there was a gorgeous elderly lady that was manning the shop. It was a volunteer shop, let's be honest.
Yep.
And she was on a FaceTime with her friend in Melbourne going, and anyway, how close to the stage were
you? There you go.
She painted Taylor Swift. And these two between them must have been 1,000. It was like, wow, I'm in the middle of nowhere and we're in a Taylor conversation.
That's hilarious.
I find it fascinating. Every time Tanya tells us about an elderly woman, she does an impression of her mum. That's Evie she just did then.
Oh,
and Evie doesn't sound like that. But we've always got a go-to voice for a particular thing. I love that voice because I'm in the shop with you.
No. But can you believe that? In all the... it's crazy. And I know your wife and daughter are going down this weekend.
Friday, their Friday night show, they have been bejeweling things all weekend. They've been making the friendship bracelets. No joke.
Are they driving or in the bus?
They're driving, which is...
Where are they going to park it?
No, so they've got accommodation.
Yeah,
they've got accommodation in Homebush.
Okay.
With parking.
Oh, good.
So they're very, very lucky.
They are.
I think it cost $3,000.
I just realised I asked a dad question, didn't I?
Yeah.
Hey, where are they going to bloody park? That's just stupid, Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But isn't something happening with the trains this weekend?
It's track work. Track work between Newcastle and Wyong, because they've had it in the calendar for 12 months, Ryan.
Sorry, okay.
And there's probably something in there that's like, cancel all that. It's Swifty time.
I know.
Yeah.
Even Transport New South Wales are like, this has been planned for a while and there's bigger things afoot than a Taylor Swift concert.
And
like the safety of everybody else that's travelling on the lines.
That's so true. And yet, I can't help but everything we've spoken about, I'm still stuck on a crocheted coat hanger. I'll have five.
Yes.
You just took me. That's my grandma.
I know.
Opening up birthday presents, mainly my sister, but... crocheted coat hanger.
Yeah. Did you buy anything from the store or did you just have a bit of a sticky bag?
You know how you get awkward because you don't want to leave without buying something?
But you couldn't find anything.
No, and then my saving grace was they only took cash.
A dream result.
Do you have that too? Good, I'm glad. I thought that was just me.
What?
I hate walking around a shop and leaving empty handed. Oh, I feel guilty.
Same, especially a shop like that.
Crappy shop.
Well, not crappy, but a community shop. Let's call it a community shop.
Sometimes I hang around and just sneak out when they're not looking. Riddled with guilt.
They think you've stolen something because you've ran so fast.
Get that guy. He's got five crocheted coat hangers.
All right. We're away for a Monday. It's a brand new week, everyone. This is Tanya and Steve. We've got money to give away with our credit card crush again today. $30,000. That's what we've given away so far. More today.
On the line.
Do we have an expiration date on how long after we win we can claim a lotto or a lottery winning? Because I don't know.
Oh.
Or is it,
I think it's forever if you've got your ticket.
Is that the American one who...
Oh.
Did, what happened to a ticket? What happened?
So basically, yeah, this is why I bring it up.
Yeah,
I saw this story about some poor Floridian. So someone from Florida has won what they call the lucky millions over there. And it equated to $55 million Australian dollars.
Okay.
But in, well, each state has different rules. But in Florida, the expiration date for claiming is 180. So all last week, they were trying desperately. There were radio ads, TV ads, newspaper ads, Insta ads, just asking for this person to check their ticket, come forward. If you've ever bought a ticket, come forward, check it. Well, it expired last Wednesday. So that $55 million goes back into state coffers, and that person will be kicking themselves if they find an unused ticket in a coat pocket somewhere.
Don't know what you've been doing for a side hustle for the last 20 years of radio, mate, but I'm telling you now, Australia's famous for the redraw.
Redraw!
Is it?
Redraw!
What do we do?
The lot... Lottery and instant scratcher prizes must be claimed within 6 years after the draw date.
Okay.
See, once 6 years have passed, prizes cannot be paid.
If you look at 6 years, so you spend the first week looking for it, then you get annoyed and you can't find it. And then they've actually timed it that in the 6th year, you will find it in the pocket of your jeans in the washing machine.
Absolutely.
Imagine that. I've got a winning ticket somewhere.
That's so unlucky.
It's why it does pay to be a player.
Okay. Explain that to me. I don't know about it. So if you buy a ticket, you've got to remember it. If you've got to register.
If you've registered. Right? Those occasional big ones that we all, country goes
it's
in.
It's actually pretty easy to register as well, isn't it? You just get the app and
it's not cost a lot. Anything.
Worth doing
That's why I'm so happy that Tanya's registered. It's great when she wins and I get some. I love that.
But how's that? $55 million.
Oh, that's insane.
Someone's life could have changed. Someone's many lives could have changed.
That's worse than not winning.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
And where did they say the ticket was?
Florida.
Oh, far out.
You know where they are, though? San Francisco Bay, mate.
Lovely
bridge. I was Florida, sorry.
It's Florida. See, that's the retirement capital of America. So my heart goes to this poor old couple, scraping each other's toast with a half a teaspoon of butter.
Isn't that great how you've come up with imaginary losers?
I know.
Isn't that wonderful, Isaac?
I like them.
Not some a-hole.
No, they look like the couple out of Up, you must know.
Oh, gotcha. My God. Yeah, I'm picturing it.
Now we're all sad.
Yeah. Well, it should be. She dies.
Yeah, we know what happens to her.
He'll just have it on his own. Even sadder, won't he? No, that's good. They'll come up with it. Yeah, you wanted to know... In your brain, the person that won that and didn't get it was a lovely pensioner.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
some little kid's going to go and knock on his door very soon, like the whole movie of Up.
Yeah.
They're going to float away. not win the lotto.
They probably won't float away now. Because it'd be too sad.
Well, it does start off sad, that movie. I'm going down a rabbit hole here, but, you know, you're like, oh, this is nice, and it shows you an old couple of them, and it's on his own. Where's this heading?
Can only get up from there.
Quickly on money, funnily enough, though. Yeah. We did this a few weeks ago, but it's changed, so I thought I'd just throw it out there for us heading into work today, and it's the average credit card debt, right, with age. So if you're a millennial, right, you are about $6,000 on your credit card.
Yeah.
Gen X... 8,200. Baby boomer? Nothing.
Of course not. They're the era of if you can't afford it today,
you're not getting it.
You don't buy it.
I won't put it online because there's too many numbers in there, but I will show Tanya my exact credit card, and it is exact Gen X.
Oh, is it?
The dollar.
$8,500 or something?
To the dollar.
Wow.
I know. God, I'm proud. I'm always so Mr. Average.
Mr. Average.
Last year I was average home loan guy going to go bust. This year I'm...
Average credit card debt holder.
Going to go bust.
What an average
dude. I love being that guy.
It's tenure and Steve.
The McDonald Jones $65,000 price rollback on new homes is on now for a limited time. Turn it up loud because tenure and Tanya and Steve's.
You won't get this.
You won't get this.
Well, you do. You always do. But Steve's going to give us a fact or a stat or make a statement. We've just got to work it out. It's really easy, isn't it, at the end of the day?
I think so. I think today will be pretty easy, yes.
Okay, well, we've got to pretty awesome prize. One that I actually want.
I know you do. It's a double pass to see Pearl Jam.
Because they're like...
With the special guest, the Pixies, it's their Dark Matter World Tour coming up at Giant Stadium, November 21.
I love the Pixies are going. That's
I know, it's a great band.
Out of nowhere.
Tickets on sale Friday with pearljam.com, but you'll get yours here.
133353. Call us right now. Great gig. And the phones are lighting up.
I say people will get this because I don't know if it's common knowledge or it would be a deduction thing. But let's go for it anyway. All right.
Scott's okay. At Ellalong. G'day, Scott.
Hello, how you going?
Very well.
All right, Scott. Cartoon Network 10 years ago banned one of the characters in one of their cartoons because it was deemed offensive is the best word to say. It was deemed offensive, so they banned the cartoon character from the Cartoon Network.
Was it this one?
Oh, from the Cartoon Network.
Tanya just said to me, was it this guy? And she just aimed a rifle at me.
Obviously not that guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it was that guy then.
Yosemite Sam? Were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking Elmer Fudd.
Ah, no.
Scott, who do you think it is?
Yeah. Is it Johnny Bravo?
No.
I love Johnny Bravo.
Same.
Good guess, though.
Thanks, Scott.
Always envious of his hair.
Brad's at Cessnock.
Okay, Brad, Cartoon Network banned a particular cartoon character deemed offensive. Who was it?
Oh, Stimpy.
Oh, man.
Oh, from Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if he's not, he should be.
It's obviously not him.
Hello, Ren.
What about Jenna?
Was it Kim Possible?
No.
Oh.
I don't even know who that is. Who
Kim
was
Kim Possible? How do you not know Kim Possible?
I have no idea who that is.
Neither do I, Razzie.
Maybe.
Luckily, though, I whispered so no one could hear.
Maybe she was more a girly one.
Possibly.
Yeah. I think Kim's a giveaway.
Rachel's at Lochinvar.
Rachel, what cartoon... Well, Cartoon Network banned a cartoon character deemed offensive. Who was it?
Was it Ren and Stimpy?
No.
It's not Ren and Stimpy.
God, that was my favourite cartoon. I remember the first time I saw it and went, what is going on?
Oh, no, it's like an acid trip, isn't it?
Peter's at Raymond Terrace. Who is the band character?
Johnny Bravo?
No.
Not Johnny Bravo.
No.
Thanks, Pete. We'll go to Damon at Belmont.
Damon, who do you think was the band cartoon character?
Oh, he's
Damon
gone.
Doesn't know.
Oh, Peter.
Chris at Bellbird.
How's it going?
Good, Chris. Who's the band character?
Speedy Gonzales.
Under the ipa, ipa, under the...
Why? Because of cultural appropriation.
There's a happy ending.
Okay, Chris. Well, first off, you get the Pearl Jam tickets.
Oh, how awesome is that? How good is that?
It's great. Enjoy with the Pixies. Big November 21 at Giant Stadium.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good on you, man.
Well done, Chris. You grab your tickets, pearljam.com on Friday for that show.
Now...
So Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah.
They all got together in a boardroom, you know, and trying to do the woke bizzo and all of that, and banned Speedy, offensive and everything. However, due to a mass protest, he was returned.
Right.
The protest was held by the Hispanic American community.
There you go.
Oh, we forgot to ask them. Isn't that... But isn't that classic now?
Typical, yeah.
Was it because the cultural appropriation under that banner, the person who voiced him wasn't Spanish or Mexican?
No, it was more just the entire thing. Yeah, okay. It'd be like even now an Indian accent.
Right.
They were going, under the upper head, I'm a Mexican, you know, it's that now. And the Hispanic went, shut up, we love him.
And was it because of drugs too?
I wasn't in the boardroom, T.
Because I'm trying to think it through. They've gone, we've got a Mexican drug cartel mouse here.
That's true.
He's a cartoon character.
Called
I
Speedy.
Don't know if he's a cartel.
No, but Speedy, you know what I mean? The drug thing. I just wonder.
Maybe he was just fast.
Or maybe.
Not necessarily on crack.
I don't know. I just thought maybe it was a bit of a joke by the people that originally wrote
probably
him.
Was.
Oh, there's plenty of those. Everything, isn't there?
Yeah.
What's going on with Elmer Fudd, as you said earlier? I'm not sure.
he's one of my favourites. Oh, that's him. do the hunting rabbits, Steve.
Be very, very quiet. I might do rabbits.
Oh. I love him. Oh,
yeah. You don't get what's going on with that, though?
What do you mean? Why? He's a hunter.
Again, the cartoon characters. Under the hip, I hip, I got to the ads. What's she doing here again, Tanya?
Intern Kelly.
It was for a week.
We've invited Intern Kelly back in just to see how she felt about the week that was. G'day, Kel.
G'day, Tanya and Steve and Risey.
Hello.
You know my favourite? No, not mine. You know our favourite bit? And this happens all the time when people come and do our show, be it whatever role or whatever thing it is, and even people at work here that help us out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Our favourite bit is how tired you got.
Were you tired?
I was. Well, I wasn't, I wasn't. After Pink the next morning, that was a struggle.
Exhibit A.
Yeah.
It's our favourite time.
Yeah.
Backing up. How you guys have done it for like 10 years together and even longer, like 20 plus years before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about your favourite bit of the week? Would it be Pink?
Absolutely, Pink. Yeah. Pink was the highlight, probably, like, of the last 10 years of my life since having, oh, well, 12, 13 years since I had kids, you know, and then backing up two nights in a row, getting to go, like, out without kids for two nights in a row was pretty epic.
I love that. Yeah, it's so, you're like, well, just being childless was great. Having a few things
like
to myself.
My children, though, don't you?
No, but it's just having a couple of things to yourself, that's all.
Yeah, it is.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's just take a minute to recap. Kelly the intern's the week that was. Get a real job.
You're Steve's intern. Who is it?
It's Kelly at New Lambton.
Oh my God, is that me?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, Kelly, you won't be getting one of those letters. Thanks for your application. You're in.
I can't believe that. When I thought I was down to the last two, I thought, oh, no, I'm just
going to
be the runner-up.
Oh,
I'm shaking.
Kel, how's it been so far?
Oh, it's been wonderful, Tanya.
Let's just say you won't be in the studio a lot tomorrow morning.
Oh,
are you free 6 o'clock tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
We need you to go to Pink and report back.
Are you serious?
Serious.
You're serious?
Yeah.
I've got a Pink.
Yeah.
I've got a Pink.
You've got two tickets.
Two tickets?
Yeah.
And I even know which friend is, like, dying to come as well.
Who is it?
My friend Mel.
Oh, I don't have to call her now. Hello, Mel.
Hello.
We've got someone here with us to tell you something, Mel.
You know how Pink's coming to Newcastle tomorrow night?
Yes.
Would you like to come with me? Because I've got two tickets.
Oh, my God. You're so real.
Oh, you can tell you two are besties. You talk the same.
Jerry's got what you're going to be wearing today.
Yeah,
you... What I'm going to be wearing.
The sandwich board.
A big sign.
No,
she's wearing a sandwich board. We need some advertising. We haven't got billboards this year, so we're going to make you a human billboard.
So, Kel will be wearing the human billboard. It does say honk if you're listening.
Where do I have to stand?
Jesmond Roundabout. then the Glendale Roundabout.
Busy at least. I should get some honks on the horn.
I reckon you will.
We would bring Kelly the intern in to recap her Pink experience last night.
It was phenomenal. That's pretty much all I can say. I was like, what words can I use to try and describe that on air? But there's no words. It was the best atmosphere. Like you said, there was 34,000 people.
Tell
it was
everyone like where Tanya and Steve had you. Where did Tanya and Steve put you?
Oh, like, obviously only the best for their intern.
Well, Kel, so glad we could send you. And now,
thank you so much.
Kelly's
honestly
off to get a frock because we're going to the Knights launch tonight.
Yeah, another adventure. We win, we win, we win.
The Knights, we are supreme. She's dressed as Cupid this morning, giving out roses just to say Happy Valentine's Day to people.
Where are you, Kelly?
I am near the surf tower and near Merriweather Beach. We've got, like, our roses. We've already handed out a couple. There's people getting them for their sisters. There's people getting them for their daughters. There's people getting them for their partners because they've forgotten. And Ray is just like, oh, it's so sweet. It's, like, beautiful sunrise.
Does it feel nice, Kel, to do this for people?
It really does. It does. It's just such a beautiful way to start my day. Like, oh, you guys are giving me so many fun things to do. So thank you.
Oh, my God, I forgot how annoying she was.
So, well, she crammed a lot in that week, don't you reckon?
Absolutely.
There was a lot of things going on in that week.
Bloody hard to shut you up.
Did you think it was going to roll that way, Kel? What were your expectations?
Look, to be honest, I had no expectations, which was a really good and, like, fun thing to just come in. And I was saying, like, you know, before...
I'm so used to like planning everything with the kids, and you know, they'll be like, "What are you doing? Like, what are we doing this afternoon?" And the whole everything's planned. So to rock up on a morning and then and have no idea, like for the first like couple of days last week, I was like, "Oh, like so anxious and just fearful on the inside about what might be coming."
Yeah.
Human billboard, for example. But then, like by you know Wednesday, I was like, "Oh, embracing it," because it was just so much fun. Like, you guys have so much fun and do so much wonderful stuff for the Newcastle community and spread so much joy. Like, giving out Valentine's Day roses was, like, one of the highlights for sure as well.
That's so lovely.
Yeah. Thanks so much for, like, having me last week. It was awesome.
And we're so glad you had a good time, but I think your natural personality showed that you were going to at any stage. You're just that type of person. We've enjoyed having you.
We have loved having you.
Oh,
you feel like
you.
Part of the furniture.
Yeah.
Like you've been with us forever.
It's like we haven't had to try around Kelly, have we?
No. You know? You're a delight, Kel. So,
oh, thanks so much. Like, it is such a lovely, like, family atmosphere here. Like, it really is.
Well, it's funny to say, because you know the most question, if you haven't been asked now, you will be asked, is what are they really like?
Yeah. Genuine, like, funny, just pretty much exactly as you are on air, you are in real life. It's beautiful.
That was only when you were in the studio.
No, it's been last week as well.
Yeah, but then she was pissed.
Well, Kel, as our little thank you, we've got a...
Oh, my God!
It says on this big, giant check, intern Kelly gets $1,000 cash for her trouble.
Yeah.
It's thanks to People Fusion. Thank you very much to People Fusion, giving us that $1,000 to give to Kelly.
Wow, thank you, guys.
You're welcome. You did get paid.
I did get paid.
Yeah.
Thanks, People Fusion. Thanks, Tanya Stephen Risey. Oh, I feel like I should be paying you for the experience since I got not you paying me. That's
okay.
Like...
Now, come on, be honest.
Yeah, yourself a coffee.
Be honest, what are you going to do with your $750? Because I've already taxed it. Sorry. It's been taxed.
I really think I probably owe my father-in-law for looking after the kids with a bottle of something.
Yes.
And then, I might take the kids for dinner and who knows, like, just put it towards, you know, like, being a mum and having family is a little bit expensive.
Well,
so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just the normal
Loved
normal
having
stuff.
You, Kelly.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks brilliant. So much. It's been, it's just been so surreal, such a dream. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
The McDonald Jones $65,000 price rollback on new homes is on now for a limited time. Turn it up loud and clear, cause Tanya and Steve
Hill is Triple M Breakfast. 102.9 Triple M at 6:53. This is Tanya and Steve.
Hey,
what brought this on?
Well, just because I'm just, it's all things Taylor Swift at the moment, and I'm wondering whether her songs will last the test of time. And we always say 40 years. I don't know why 40 years becomes the filter.
Yeah.
But will we still be singing Taylor songs in 40 years?
Yeah.
Don't know.
No.
But my bigger question today is, what songs will still be sung in 40 years? Forget Taylor.
Yeah.
I'm talking about any of the songs in our world.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think will stand the test of time in 40 years' time? And let's do a list.
The list. The list.
If you put it in that time frame, and correct my maths if I'm wrong, but you're kind of then going, okay, so something was hit in the 80s, we're still singing now.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know what I mean?
Oh, my
though?
God. I was going to go 60s, but you're right.
Yeah.
It's the 80s.
80s too.
What were we singing in the 80s that's still a hit now?
Why do you think on Fridays at Triple M we feel older all of a sudden?
I know.
Because of our 80s thing. But it's true, yeah. So that's kind of the... So the point I'm saying is, it's not that long ago in our life brains.
No.
So, we're singing 80 songs 40 years later now.
Yeah.
So what would it be in another 40?
133353, if you'd like to join us, that is our phone number.
Add to the list the song that you think will still be singing in another 40 years. Now, it could be 50 or 40 years old already.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be released this year or anything.
No, because mine is definitely a much older song than the 80s, this one. Touching me, touching me.
I agree.
Don't you reckon?
Well, unless the woke people cancel it, touching me, touching you.
Oh,
I don't know about that.
Has that ever been covered, Sweet Caroline? Like
about 4 million people.
Yeah. Okay,
but we still
go back to Neil Diamond always.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
the original
best.
And the best.
And we all know if it gets covered, it'll be a thrash band.
Yeah.
Sweet Caroline, dun dun dun. So that is but you're right. That's a great example of it. Just will keep going.
I think because the kids have been onto it. They love it. It's cross-generational, that song.
Mine might be a bit more divisive then.
Right.
Okay, because I reckon this one. I know it's not a sing-along, but it's
a classic.
It's, yeah.
I think it'll last.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it starts so slow, like, and builds and builds. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's got everything in there. Yeah. It's Led Zeppelin. It's kind of like, yeah, I think it'll stay.
I do. Stairway to Heaven is always going to be one that they'll just draw on, yes, put in movies. It's just there. It's part of our DNA.
Dave from Medford's got one too.
What song do you think will last the test of time, Dave?
Oh, mate, although it's like scraping your fingers down a chalkboard, anything at Christmas time by Michael Bublé.
You're absolutely right. You're spot on, Dave. I agree with you. And in the same vein, Mariah Carey.
I think Mariah's got more chance than Michael.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
She's Mrs. Christmas, he's Mr. Christmas.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so you reckon 40 years' time in 2064,
yep,
we'll still be singing this song.
Yep.
You know what I love about that? We have now officially gone, no one will write a better Christmas song.
Yeah, pretty exactly much.
Well, even Ed and Elton tried.
Yes.
And I like it, but I don't think there's too many more that do.
Oh, I've got a better word.
What?
Rubbish. Cameron and Edgeworth, what do you reckon we'll be singing in 40 years, mate?
Never Tear Us Apart by NXS.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. And they could never,
ever tear us apart. This bass line.
Oh, classic.
Good one, Cameron.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Doing that as well because it's such a big anthem and, like, you can sing it for sporting songs and, you know, like...
Well, again, and I'm not being exact, but that's a 40-year-old song.
Mm. Oh,
probably
God
would be, yeah.
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 Close,
well,
anyway.
Well, yeah. Michael's been dead for nearly 30 years.
Nice for it. Nice. Yeah.
Well, he has. Well, was it 97?
Nice tie in there.
Yeah.
But 97, God, you're right.
Yeah,
what about your other one, Steve? You made me get another one of your songs you think we're singing in 40 years.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, I was saving it for the big finale of this because as soon as I play it, everyone will go, he's dead right.
What is it?
He's a music man, Steve. He knows his gear.
It's lasted 4 years. You got a few more.
I'm comparing it to the chicken dance song. Yeah. It's like, what the hell's that still doing around? But we all know it.
Thank you for your calls. You can call us anytime throughout the show on 1-333-53.
Amy from the Hill, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I do believe this is Amy.
Amy from the Hill.
Bloody good at this.
Amy has won the $1,000 before.
Okay, Amy, you know the drill, but I've got to tell you, take your first answer. No help from anyone or thing. Pass if you don't know. Good luck, mate.
Would you call her a genius, Steve?
A genius she is.
Yeah.
Oh, Dane, I'm not.
I think we've just put the mockers on.
No pressure.
Look out, Risey's already on sports bet.
My money's on Amy winning the grand.
Mine too. Amy, let's get underway. True or false? Male seahorses can get pregnant and give birth.
True.
The Dr. Seuss book is called What Eggs and Ham?
Green.
In Aussie slang, a thunderbox is a what?
A toilet.
What was the final score in the Knights v Sharks on Saturday?
Oh, God. Pass.
What is missing from the Venus de Milo sculpture?
Her arms.
Well, when it comes to pregnancy, what do the letters IVF stand for?
In vitro fertilisation.
Over the weekend, wildlife warrior Robert Irwin announced that he and his girlfriend had what? Becoming
split
married.
Up.
Yep. After last night's NBN News at 7, which reality TV show came on?
Max.
Spell plectrum, as in the tool used to strum a guitar.
Plectrum.
Large round earrings are often referred to as hulas, hoops or tubes.
Hoops.
And the score with the Knights v Sharks?
44-18.
She's done it.
No.
$1,000.
Awesome.
Amy from the Hill, $1,000 for you, and I think Risey just won $5,000 on Sportsbet.
Yes.
My heart's racing. I was the night score, I knew it was 44-something. I'm saying, is it 44-18, 44-16? And I thought, three tries. I thought it had to be three tries. So.
Mate, I'm afraid, Amy, we're going to have to get a plaque because you are the $1,000 minute goat.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well done, Amy. What are you going to do with your money?
I'm going to probably pay some bills. I know that's really boring, but, you know, cost of living and
that's
stuff.
Where we're at.
You know, it's just, it is.
The same thing.
I know.
Even geniuses have bills, Daniel.
I know.
There you go.
Now, for anyone listening going, hang on, how many goes does she do? There's a particular amount of time you have to wait until you can play again.
You haven't played for a year
It's a year.
Yeah, we haven't spoken to you for ages, have we?
Well, no, yeah, I won more than a year ago, and then I rung about 5 months ago, and I only got 9 out of 10.
Did you, you dummy?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I was annoyed. I was upset.
You've obviously been living with that since the day, yeah.
Yes.
One day I'll prove myself.
Redemption.
I'll talk to you next year. Okay, next February. I'll be back.
Thanks, Amy.
I think she is at the point where she actually puts that in her tax.
She's going to have to. Well done, Amy from the Hill. Winning that $1,000. We play our $1,000 minute every morning at 7 o'clock.
Good news is we've just looked outside the studio and Matty Croker does have his head attached to his shoulders.
Well, we were wondering, weren't we?
Well, that's debatable. It looks a bit like a coconut with buttons on it from here.
All right, we're going to chat to Matty Croker for the Knights. We'll do it after John Farnham. That's Freedom. Newcastle's 102.9 Triple M.
Castle Knights, Matty Croker.
Now, for a lot of people who wouldn't have seen the game over the weekend, we're worried about our mate, weren't we?
Oh, look, Matt, I couldn't even text you because I thought you are not in any position to be responding to anything or looking at small screens. Thomas Hazleton nearly took your head off on Saturday.
Yeah, he got me good, didn't he? Yeah, it was a bit of a falling tackle, but I'm all right, and thanks for checking up on me. I'm okay.
I like that line you said when I said, leave your head off your shoulders, and you said that his rule is never tackle below the eyebrows.
Nothing below the eyebrows. Back to the 70s.
Back to the 70s, yeah. Man, I love it. Yeah. But, and we were talking off air, and it will be contended again on air this year of, time, sin bin, send-offs.
Well, that was the annoying bit. Yeah. You're taken off mandatory HIA 15 minutes minimum, but he got 10 minutes. Yeah. I don't get that, Matt.
Yeah, it's all... I mean, those are sort of the details that the NRL, I think, are still trying to work out and what's right and what's wrong. And, I mean, when you look at penalties and sin bins and stuff, there's so much of a grey area, I guess. And, it's just up to the referee, but... Like I said, I'm fine. Yeah. Knights got the win.
Yep.
It's a good Monday.
Well, I mean, on that,
it's all good now, isn't it?
You don't want to head in, and I'm praying this year, you don't want to head into what was sneaking into the game a little bit was the old lay down because you knew you'd get a penalty and all that.
Yeah.
I hope that's gone this year.
Nah, yeah, I definitely think it is because of what we were just talking about then. If you lay down for a head injury and you're not concussed at all, well, you're off for 15 minutes regardless.
There you go. That's good.
It's crucial that halves and spine players, they don't lay down because if they're down, well, then they're mandatorily going to get 15 minutes out of the game. Mm. So
good.
it's not worth it for the penalty. And there's that many cameras nowadays, Steve, that it just gets picked up anyway, doesn't it? And the video ref chimes in, so it all gets picked up. Nothing really gets missed.
Good.
We were saying it ahead of the game last week, Adam O'Brien, there's a lot of depth, but spoil for choice. That halves combination on the weekend, incredible. Dylan Lucas, David Armstrong, Riley Jones, it's just such a great game it was.
It's really good. Like we spoke about this last Monday, didn't we, about how the good sides have that next man up and they have the competition for spots. Yep. And I think anyone that watched it on the weekend would have thought how good some of the juniors were. And it's exciting times for Newcastle when you've got young blokes putting their hand up, and even a young fellow who's not really a household name, Kyle McCarthy, he come on within the first minute, unfortunately, to Christian Maapapalangi, had the head knock.
Yeah, how's he?
And he's all well. But, Kyle come in expecting to play the last 20 minutes of the game. Got thrown on a minute in and scored our first try. Mm. So little stories like that, I think, is what's so good about the preseason trials.
And, well, yeah, there was a few names thrown about of players we bought, and that game you got to see. Oh, right, that's Price. Oh, that's,
And now it's all televised and they make a bit of a deal about it with the preseason challenge. You get to, the fans get to sit back and watch it all and go, we'll remember that, write that name down. And in years to come, you see them playing consistent first grade. So that's a special thing about the pre-season trial, I reckon.
It was a funny one watching from a pub because I had to have the team list beside me to go, who's that one? Because there were a few.
Well, they usually have to remember 17 names, but this one I think it was 25 of us or something. So
imagine you got Tammy and I calling the game. Number 7 throws it out to 13, getting inside to number 9. I mean, honestly. Yeah. Oh, and there's Matty Croker.
Yeah. At least you guys remember me.
Yeah. And Will Price, one of our English imports that we met a couple of weeks ago, he had a good game.
He went really good. I was really happy for Pricey, as I mentioned last week, that we're such good mates already, and even with the short time he's been here, and he's just so eager to put his best foot forward, and what he did on the weekend was really good. I missed a little bit of it because I was in the HIA bin, but I've watched the game back, and yeah, he had some good moments.
A couple
he
of
was pretty
spaces
excited
for him.
I'll tell
they?
You what, he's watched his try back a couple of times. Oh, it was on repeat on the bus. I'll
oh, yeah.
That much.
Yeah. It'd be the first thing. Like the I can see what anyone says. I would be sending that on YouTube. I'd be putting it everywhere
exactly.
If I scored a try.
Nah, yeah. He was
are you
really
going blonde, by the way, this year? You're going to have
me.
A crack? Because
nah.
Everyone else is.
I'm staying away from that.
Staying
trend.
Away?
Staying away.
Okay.
I'll stick with my black hair.
Righto.
But yeah, Pricey's family, just to touch on him again, they all woke up at 2:45 in England to watch him play.
The trial game. That's so good.
Yeah, so they were super proud. And yeah, like I said, he's a real good mate, so I'll say it before.
All right, so let's look ahead to Fiji. When do you guys go?
We take off Wednesday, so we've got a little bit of recovery and stuff today, and then tomorrow we'll go in for a session and take off Wednesday. And
I've already forgotten who you're playing.
Come back Sunday versus Melbourne.
Melbourne yeah.
And Fiji.
Well, a couple of days so. In the resort, in the pool
yeah.
And first,
yeah.
And then play the game.
It's going to be really lovely.
Yeah, it sounds
so
awesome.
Hopefully everything
though.
Goes well, and yeah, enjoy the...
Yeah, I'll give you
Fiji.
One tip, mate. Have Carver after the game.
Yeah, after the game. Yeah,
yeah, you don't want him running out there, Jay.
Nah.
His googly
running
eyes.
Out there a bit wonky.
Oh, well, it's great to see you upright and that you're fighting fit and we'll be, you know, fine to play. That's great.
No worries. Thanks for having me in.
All
mate.
Right.
I always wonder, you know, forward the way he is. And you know he doesn't care and everything. I know he's in the room, can't hear me, but I'm cupping my hand.
Yeah.
He can't hear you now.
You know
yeah.
In 2 years he's going to have a face like a smashed crab.
I already do.
It's Tanya and Steve.
The McDonald Jones $65,000 price rollback on new homes is on now for a limited time. Turn it up louder, cause Tanya
and Steve is Triple M breakfast. Hey, we had a lovely little weekend away. Mike and I went up to Harrington for the weekend. Now, I know you've never been there.
Never been there. And in my brain, I keep... Hey, what's Tanya? Oh, she's going up to the Hamptons.
Harrington.
Harrington.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a bit
never
Hampton-ish.
Been there. Well, it, yeah, right.
It really is. It's
never
like
been there.
Curb and guttering, everyone out. There was a woman out Windexing her mailbox yesterday.
Perfect.
Was there? Yeah, yeah. And I think it's because there's a big older community and
yeah,
they've run
is.
Out of things to clean.
Yeah,
so,
well.
Literally Windexing her mailbox.
Seriously, once you get to the mailbox, you're bored.
But from there, rather than come straight down the highway home yesterday, we went west. And we went out to a town that Mike's ridden through on the bike before.
Yeah.
And it's called Combine. Have you been to Combine?
Never heard of it. No.
Oh my God. Never heard of it.
What a beautiful village.
So it's say, what a hole.
No.
It's inland from
It's inland.
The Hamptons.
It's sort of
inland from Taree, kind of thing.
Kind of
yeah,
north,
okay.
Northwest of Taree.
Yep.
But it's a mountain village. So you're kind of climbing to get to it. You get to it and you go, wow, this was worth it.
Oh, okay.
It's so pretty.
Yeah.
But there are three things, and I want to test you guys.
Yeah.
Because every time I get to a little village like that in the middle of nowhere where there isn't a 24-hour Coles or a Servo or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
three things come to mind. The first one is, oh, my God, what do people do here for a job?
That's my given.
First thing?
Every time.
Yep.
Number two? Geez, imagine if you run out of milk. Because
yeah.
there's nowhere to get it.
Yeah.
Of course.
And the third thing is, what the hell do people do on Friday nights?
Absolutely.
Don't you reckon?
100%.
Yep. And my fourth, how much is a cab from here to Taree?
Exactly.
When you go to a pub. But every day, every time. What do
people do here for a job?
Always.
But you know what? We met so many locals. In the 2 hours we were there yesterday, we've come away knowing Linda with the incense and Anne-Marie with the gift shop.
Right,
and
right.
You and I would avoid everybody.
I think she's found Tanya Town. I think she's actually found Tanya Town.
Where they love to speak to strangers as well. As,
no,
as
Risey.
Much as Tanya.
Where everybody knows your name. She's found Tanya Town.
I love that kind of thing. But we did. We literally, I think, met 75% of the population of Combine yesterday.
Oh, good God.
And but the weird thing is, everyone we met were either from Melbourne
yep.
or Sydney.
Okay.
They'd all kind of
that
gone...
tree change.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So, and you know, because... Well, no, I won't say what I was going to say. I was going to say, no, but the people we met had a bit of a plum in the mouth. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Not, oh, posh.
A little bit posh.
Yeah.
Right.
You can tell they didn't grow up having to put their hand up a cow's bum, is what I'm saying.
Now, you know a lot of people haven't.
Yeah, I never did that. No.
I don't mean to alarm you, though. You're a bit niche.
No. But you know what I mean.
They didn't grow up on the land in a rural area.
Yeah,
let's just say they never had dirty fingernails.
Yeah.
Rather than putting their hand up a cow's ass.
Yeah, so it blows my mind that these people have left huge cities.
Why would they move there, though?
Because it's
so many other nice places.
It's so pretty.
And probably cheaper because it's a bit unknown.
Yeah, and they've got, like, buy acreages and they do, you know, pretend farms and they make things.
Oh, little hobby farm kind of thing.
Hobbies and stuff.
Okay.
But a lot of them, IT.
Work from anywhere these days.
I was saying, if you're IT, you can go anywhere. It's an open book to do your work from anywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, beat it into your children. Tell them to be IT warriors.
Or perhaps encourage them.
Just tell them. You know. Yeah.
I realised that this morning she might be a bit violent with hands up cows' butts and beating children.
But you know what I mean.
But your message is clear.
And one young couple, they've never been able to own dogs before. They've got three now. Yeah. And she's looking at rescuing donkeys. Like, there's so much that you can do.
How do you learn all this stuff about people?
You say hello. That's usually what starts
it. Don't encourage her, Ron.
Okay.
But I am curious, like you, about the donkeys. Do you notice she just went, donkeys.
I'd love to live somewhere like that where, you know, everybody's business and, you know, you're...
I know you would.
You can pop next door and let yourself in because no one locks their doors.
My favourite bit, everybody, is that no doubt John and Shirley from Combine will be staying over and having dinner at Tanya's in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, definitely.
I haven't been there for 7 years. So that kind of puts you in the place. She doesn't like to maintain old friendships. That's too much hard work. She likes them to pop in and out. There you go.
New people.
Yeah, new people. She loves new people.
And the first question, Tanya, asked someone, have you put your hand up a cow's bump?
That's right. Yeah. That's
it. Anyway, have you not been to Combine?
I haven't been to your house. Unlike John and Shirley, what are they staying over this weekend? Sometimes you want to go
where everybody knows your name. Welcome to Tannytown,
where everybody knows everyone's business. Hi, Shell. Hi, John.
Oh, my God. The dream. Love that.
Oh, here's a new person. I've just had a gutful of putting my hand up a cow's ass.
Hey, last week, you know, when we were talking, it was just a stat that I was imparting about 80% of women have now moved into what they're calling a grey area when it comes to women that were drinking, but now they're saying we're drinking much more.
Yes.
And it's kind of those aged over 35 that they're saying it's become a problem.
The loose brand now is functioning alcoholic, and I say loose brand because it's a real brand, but it's kind of... It's one to easy to establish what you mean, isn't it?
Yeah.
It means, look, I'm drinking too much, but I'm functioning fine.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm drinking too much and I've just stopped and I'm not working. So it's weird, isn't it?
Well, after that conversation, a lady reached out through social media and we've been back and forth over the last few days.
She's very open and honest.
She's very open and honest, and she was saying how she is drinking and is finding it very hard to stop.
Yeah.
She said, I'm starting to believe the only way I will stop is if something like what happened to Steve happens to me. It saddens me and my family every day. It's driven wedges between certain family members.
Mm.
Her husband has given up drinking, but she says it's just so hard, and she thinks wine is hardest one to kick of all. It's not fun for her anymore.
Yeah.
She knows it's not healthy. She's talked to counsellors. She's talked to a GP. She's even tried to AA, and that hasn't helped.
It's good, you know, and I always say to you guys, you know, having had personal, not me personally, but I've got quite a couple of friends that have been all in this world, and the hardest thing to do is admit it. And once you have, then you're away. And she has said she hasn't found the right thing to help her. But that's your start.
Well...
Even reaching out to you to talk to her about it, that's pretty good.
Even admitting it, reaching out,
yeah. Yeah, well, but you know what's so sad? Like, she has tried desperately by the various organisations, and as I say, she's been to AA. Nothing's working, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the standout for me, because the last line that she wrote the other day to me was, I feel like my only option now is to drink myself to death and die early.
Yeah.
And that's really... Really sad.
It's a lost soul there.
Yeah.
Just trying, yeah.
But what she was saying also is thank you for bringing it up, because it's something that, you know, when we talk about drinking, we talk about it in terms of celebrations. Mm. We talk about it in terms of relaxation, and it's part of our culture. We know that.
Yeah, it is.
But it's become a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I find it really, like, I don't think I'm an alcoholic, but I do find it hard to say no.
Mm.
And I've noticed that more and more over the last, say, 12 months.
Yeah.
I did it on Friday night just to make sure I could do it.
Yeah.
Mike and I went out and I ordered waters for me.
Yeah,
and
right.
And even Saturday night, I feel like I can do it. But, geez, I was tonguing for a wine.
It's part of the culture and all of that. But, yeah, I know. But would you have a bottle of wine a night?
No.
That's
no,
what
no.
I mean. You know,
no.
And that's the world we're living in, and even people listening right now going, God, you know what? I open a bottle and you know what? It's usually finished by the time I go to bed or even more.
Mm.
7 days a week.
See, that's so unhealthy, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
It is for our bodies, and especially for women.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. It is. It's. But again, oh, yeah, but I'm all right. I can handle it.
I know.
You know what? I don't get hangovers. Whatever excuse it is.
Yeah.
And this is not a judgment. It's just a fact. It's like, unless you go, Christ, I need help.
Yeah.
This is not good. This is heading in a bad direction. You're not. There's nowhere to start. And she already hasn't found anything yet, though.
This is another one.
It's not a quick fix.
Well, is there anyone with another option?
Mm.
And I mean that sincerely, because this lady, you heard what she said to me. She's saying, my only option now is to think that I could, you know, drink myself to death. Mm-hmm. Or if something doesn't happen to me that happened to Steve, to put you in hospital, force you to stop drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've tried everything, what's the magic cure-all? How do you get to that point where you're no longer reaching for the bottle every night?
Yeah, yeah. See, it's like I'm different, meaning I'm 52 days without a drink, right? I say that because it's like knowing when I went to hospital, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not ready to go, you know what, I don't miss it. Because I don't, and I don't miss the hangovers.
Yeah.
But I haven't been unwell. So I need to see how I'm going without a drink when I'm well to make that call.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little bit different as far as me not having a drink yet. I'm happy to have a couple of drinks, you know, when I feel like I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we're talking about problem
alcohol. That's what I mean.
Though.
Yeah, because she keeps relating to something like Steve. It's like, no.
Yeah, puts you in that position.
If you have something like Steve, you'll still go back.
Of course.
So that's not the way to stop.
Yeah.
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 But it's, look, everyone's different. And there's different. Everyone will need a different way of fixing it.
Mm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's even a medication out there. Whereas if you have a drink, it'll actually, you know, like Champix does for smokers.
Yeah, you've told me about this.
Yeah, Champix does for smokers. You know, you have a smoke and go, yuck, that's.
Well, I told her that, Steve.
Yeah.
I said Steve's told me about this drug where the doctor prescribes it that if you have a drink, it physically makes you ill.
Yes.
So that you can't drink.
I'm sure it exists.
Well, she said I've never heard of it.
Okay.
But I said, well, look, at least ask the GP because you're pretty sure. It exists.
I'm pretty sure, yes.
I think definitely talk to your doctor about it. And we're actually going to speak to a clinical social worker in the next 10 minutes. And maybe she's got some other options, ideas. Might know about that. So we'll stick around. If this topic interests you, we'll chat to her next, a clinical social worker with Tanya and Steve at Triple M.
The McDonald Jones $65,000 price rollback on new homes is on now for a limited time. Turn it up loud because Tanya
and Steve are even get some more factual things out of what we've been discussing.
Yeah, we're talking about mainly women at this point because that was spurred on by a listener who got in touch with us talking about the fact that she just cannot give up wine especially, and it's the impact that it's having on her and her family.
Mm.
And there's greater stats around to show that women are drinking more.
Yeah, she's definitely not alone.
No, to the detriment of their physical and mental health. Claire is a clinical social worker and service manager with Hunter Primary Care. She's with us. G'day, Claire.
Good morning, Tanya and Steve.
Claire, you know, I don't think it's any secret that it's getting more common, but can I ask, because we just mentioned it the last, as we're chatting about it, do you know of this medication, whereas you take it and if you have a drink, you know, your skin goes red or something happens, like a Champix for smoking?
Yes, I have, I'm not a GP, so I'm not an expert in medication, but I do know of this drug and it actually can make people feel quite sick when they drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, the story that spurred us was this lady, Claire, that, she's just being very honest about not being able to put the wine bottle down and the impact that it's having. Are you seeing more and more of women over the age of, say, 30, 35?
Look, it's definitely a demographic that we are, we do get a lot of inquiries here at Hunter Primary Care about people reaching out for support. In that age group, I'd say that yes, that is quite common. Your listener is definitely not alone. What she's communicating about hitting that rock bottom, that's something that we hear on a daily basis and support people with.
Common factor too, Claire, I'm guessing, is it's kind of starts off as a reward.
Yes. It can be. I've had a really hard day at work. I've been up early. I've had such a hard day. I'm just going to have a drink, as you say, as a reward, because I deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could also be that there's something happening in our lives that's quite uncomfortable and we're trying to medicate that.
Well, the self-medicate too is to help you sleep.
Mm.
Yes, yes. But the thing is that in the long run, the alcohol consumption actually messes up your sleep patterns. Mm. So, yeah, it's kind of, it might seem like it's helping, but in the long run, it really isn't.
Well, this lady, let's focus back on the fact that she's contacted us because she is at rock bottom. She's tried counselling. She's tried AA. She was not successful for a number of reasons. I believe one of the counsellors actually told her, you should be thinking about the calories you're consuming. That's not helpful because she's now saying, I think I'm just going to drink myself to death. What do we do to help people like that, Claire?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, as a first step, we recommend people talk to their GP or if they're in crisis to call 000 or Lifeline on 13 11 14. But if they're at the stage where they're not in crisis and they've recognised that they want to start working on this problem, they can definitely give our intake call, our intake team a call on 4935 3039, and we can help people who are vulnerable in the community and can't afford private services. We can provide drug and alcohol counselling.
Okay, well, that's a good thing too for people to know the fact that I think half of the problem is actually admitting it to yourself or not being brave enough to admit it to anyone, close friends, loved ones, whatever, because of the embarrassment.
Mm. Exactly. Shame is a huge is a huge part of the process. And that's why having that safe space with a professional to be able to talk about these issues is so important.
Are we having ourselves on, Claire, if we think, oh, look, I only have a couple of drinks a couple of nights a week, but then you find yourself not being able to say no to a drink. Is that when it becomes a problem?
Yeah, look, not being able to say no, that's definitely an issue. Like, you've got to look at what's happening there with your self-control. If you can't say no, then that means there's a certain lack of power and the drink might be kind of taking over a bit. There's also guidelines that are published by the National Health and Medical Research Council, and that's good as a baseline to stick to. So mm-hmm. those guidelines are to reduce the risk of harm from alcohol, to stick below 10 standard drinks a week, and no more than 4 standard drinks in any one day.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, we appreciate your time. We know that you've got help there if people need it. And hopefully people listening can reach out if they think they are at risk. Thank you.
Yeah, please do. And thanks, guys, for talking about it.
Claire Quilty from Hunter Primary Care.
Obviously with Claire there, but I really, and this goes for mental illness, it goes for so many things, get your GP and just bottom, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And they'll be able to guide in a way. I really do. I mean, if you can't, of course there's everywhere else, but I think your GP can get you into that area of where you need to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to get a GP now, I know.
Well, yeah, but
I get that too.
It's a good first step, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Hunter's leading new home builder. Tanya and Steve's credit card crush.
102.9 Triple M.
We got Christian Taylor's Beach today going for the cash, Steve.
Hello, Christian.
Hello, how's it going?
Very well. Have you got an idea of where you're going to pull up stop?
Oh, look, I'm aiming at 300, I guess.
About 300?
I'm looking low.
Which bill will that be, Christian?
Just my credit card bill.
There you go.
Yeah, perfect.
We literally asked now because just about 90% of people are just planning to pay a bill.
Yeah. Well, Christian, you know how it works. The credit card crusher will roll through amounts. You just got to yell out, stop, before it's declined.
Here we go.
Yeah, no worries.
$95, $163, $259, $291. $395, $400.
Stop.
Yeah. $400. Woohoo!
You heard that three and thought I'll give it a little nudge. All right, four will do. I'm with you.
Oh,
well done, Christian.
So, can you put $300 on the credit card and throw yourself $100, mate?
Sorry.
Put $300 on the credit card and throw yourself $100.
Yeah, no worries.
Good man.
Yeah.
Follow me for more financial advice.
Let's see where it might have gone, Christian.
$445. $449. $689.
Oh, I reckon you wouldn't have got a stop in there.
Nah, If it had gone to 689, you wouldn't have got it, I reckon. Nah.
Yeah.
Is that someone yelling out in the background, you idiot?
Yeah.
I thought so.
You idiot! I got 600!
Good job,
you
Christian, well. From Taylor's Beach, winning $400. Tenure receives credit card crush. It's back after nine today. We played thanks to McDonald Jones, the Hunter's leading new home builder.
Gee, Tenure, he must have friends like me.
Who say?
Real estate, mate. We love the topic of real estate.
Yeah, the Herald has done a little thing today about, where property purchases sit and which of the suburbs are taking the least time to sell and which of the suburbs are taking the most time to sell.
What's taking the most?
So on that end of the scale, Murray's Beach, Merriweather and Caves Beach are the longest days on the market in Newcastle and Lake Mac. Murray's Beach, median waiting time, 136 days to sell a house.
Let's hope you haven't got a bridging loan.
Exactly. Maybe because those properties are always houses, big houses, and quite expensive, you know what I mean?
Like,
I was thinking that with Merriweather
it's
too.
The price and it's the size. Which up it up.
Not everyone needs that size house or can afford that kind of house.
Yeah. Wanji is in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned Caves Beach. But at the other end of the spectrum, the places that are basically, they put them up and they get sold.
Oh, okay.
The number one property?
Yep.
Waratah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a given. That's easy. I know. Why?
Why?
Kmart.
Without a doubt.
Telling you now, you've got a Kmart near you, boom.
You can walk to the Knight Stadium.
No, I mean, I'm a real estate mogul. I'm telling you now. Just buy near a Kmart and you'll be sweet for the rest of your life.
Well, it's coming second to Waratah is Rankin Park in Glendale.
Not too far from Kmart.
And Macquarie Hills, Maryland, Beresfield, Waratah, West Shortland, Valentine, Mayfield and Mayfield East.
Ah.
They're all the suburbs that are basically on the market somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then they're sold.
Is it 2 or 3 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
Compared to 156 days at Murray's Beach.
Wow.
It's a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, price would have a massive factor in that.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of first home buyers in Waratah.
Yep.
But they're saying also families because of the school options. There's so many in that part of the world.
Yeah.
You've got private, you've got public, you've got Catholic. You can, world's your oyster.
I think you left one out there, Tenya.
What's that?
Kmart.
You might as well. Well, when you spoke about Glendale as well, there's a Kmart at Glendale.
Very aware of that, Ryan.
Yeah. Rankin Park, there's not one.
I didn't want to show off. Rankin Park, you just roll down the hill, man.
Exactly.
Roll even Beresfield, there's a Kmart pretty close to Green Hills.
That's it.
You've solved it.
That's right.
Who needs a real estate expert on the show when you've got Tenure and Steve's hand?
I'm ready for your call, guys, because I am the man to follow for money advice, aren't I?
Well,
it's debatable.
Yeah. I do recall that beautiful little house you lived in Hamilton, which came up for sale. What was it? 80,000? You're not paying that. That's ridiculous. That's beer money.
She's right, you know. 1997.
Well, you were renting this house.
We were renting, and he came in and said, we're going to sell it, but they said, you can have it for, I think it was actually 140.
Was
I
it?
Went,
yeah.
You're kidding, man. I'm not borrowing that much.
Where's this in Hamilton?
I know
the lady that lives there. We laugh about that story all the time, that she's sitting on a $2 million property.
That's right. I think I'll say it once. I'll say it again. It's good to have friends like Tenya. She actually sought that person out, knocked on the door. I've got a mate.
Get this. It's Triple M.
The McDonald Jones $65,000 price rollback on new homes is on now for a limited time. Turn it up loud.
Hey, I wonder a minute how many people are going down to see this lady this weekend from the Hunter.
Is she touring?
Yes.
Have you heard, Steve?
No, what's going on? Oh, she's quite a popular artist, guys. I reckon she might get a bit of a turnout.
Well, she...
Look, you might be right.
Can I just say, I've just crunched some very basic numbers. So 96,000 went to see her in Melbourne each night over the three nights. So that's 280,000.
Yeah.
In Sydney, there's going to be about 326,000 over the four concerts.
You're averaging it out at 800 a ticket?
Well, I wasn't. I was trying to be conservative.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
The 611,000 Australians will get the opportunity to see Taylor Swift.
Yep.
Last weekend, this weekend. I know that ticket prices range from $79 to $1,249.
Those $79 ones are good, aren't they?
So conservatively, I've gone $300.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a good one.
All
okay,
right,
so conservatively.
No, all right.
If we go conservatively, Taylor Swift picks up $185 million from seven concerts.
Mm.
If we go a little bit more, $500, because of the fact that some of the tickets are $12.50.
It's probably more. It's that's probably more realistic.
I reckon you're right.
Closer to 500.
Yeah. She picks up $308 million. Over seven concerts.
No wonder she's a billionaire now.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, she's touring the world, gang. That's one gig. Yes. Well, one country.
Yes.
That's phenomenal, isn't it?
It is phenomenal.
You know, as soon as I read, what was it, 90, how many did she get? 92,000? I immediately, rabbit holed into crowds and things like that. Next to her, probably on a one gig thing, was Eminem.
Oh, really?
Getting about 80,000.
Yeah, wow. Mm.
But Ed Sheeran, because he did two.
Right.
So he's got 70 a night or whatever, so he's done 140. But on the one night, Taylor's got the record at the MCG.
100%.
100,000 capacity she pulled. What was it? Was it 92? I think it was
96.
96.
96 each night.
Yeah, yeah.
But six... Get that around your head. 611,000 Australians have paid that amount of money. And so every time she does a concert, she picks up on average, this is just in Australia, $44 million.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, $4 million Saturday, Sunday, and again, four nights this weekend.
And even say, like, that show might cost her $10 million to put together, like, to pay the dancers, to all the stage and everything. Yeah, even if it's 20.
I like Risey, how you went to the dancers and be like, yeah, I might make $100 million, but I've got to pay the dancers.
A couple of $100 a night.
But isn't that phenomenal? One person generates $310 million.
Totally mind-blowing.
It's broken records all over the place.
Yeah, yep.
I can't believe it. Look, the add-on for this, I love the way that other companies are reaching out, good on them, and putting their hand in the Swiftie basket.
Mm.
You've got Bunnings, who are now putting up DIY videos. Hey, take our straw hats and turn them into a Swiftie fashion accessory.
Yeah, bejewel these Bunnings hats. Yeah,
so they've done that.
I can still remember if you know, I'm into the Beatles and things like that, but when they were, because I'm comparing Taylor to the Beatles, you know, I really am on that phenomenon, right? Mm. Beatlemania, Taylormania, whatever. What are they calling it? Swiftie Land.
Swiftie.
Well, I know.
You've got to be a Swiftie.
Back then, they sold wigs so you look like the Beatles, and I go, that'll never happen again.
It is.
Hats.
Yeah. Oh, look, you walk into one of the department stores, even David Jones the other day, I walked in at Katara, they've got a whole display and it's simply called Iris.
Yep.
And you can, like all the clothing, like your wife.
I was going to say, my wife's got her outfit sorted. I showed you guys a picture.
Yeah, I saw it at David Jones.
I've seen the picture.
She told me she got it online and for half price.
I've seen the picture, and Lucy, I think you might want to look for something more age appropriate, don't you? But anyway, I'll leave it with you.
Steve said that, not me, is he?
Okay, here's my other rabbit hole.
What?
I then went, biggest crowd at a gig ever.
Yeah.
And I mean ever.
In the planet or New
on Australia?
Australia.
No, in Australia.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Woodstock.
But I mean ever.
Yeah.
Right, so biggest crowd at one gig for one act ever in Australia. And or just throw some that you might think.
Oh,
I would have said Ed Sheeran, but you said that's not.
Yeah. So we're beating 96,000 people.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going like there. I started going there too. I'm thinking, okay, Ed Sheeran.
It has to be in Melbourne.
It wasn't.
Was it at the Domain in Sydney? Oh no, that doesn't hold that many people.
You ready?
Yeah.
1967.
Right.
Not the Beatles. The Seekers. Drew 210,000 people to the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl.
Wow.
Get 200.
That's Melbourne.
To the Sydney Meyer. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. There. Right.
Has to be Melbourne.
Sydney
yeah.
threw me off.
Well, yeah. I know. He always does.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
210,000.
The Seekers.
Wow.
The Seekers.
I've got a bit of the Seekers here.
I get
I'm telling
it.
You now, that gear kicked freckle, right? In its day, that thing was kicking some freaking.
They were internationally, weren't they?
They were. Again, underrated Australian band, doesn't get enough kudos.
210,000.
That's insane.
Well, Taylor, you've got a lot to live up to, hasn't she?
Internationally, though, Rio. 1.1 million people at a gig.
For who?
I can't remember because I got too astounded by the crowd. All I went was, how would you go to a toilet? How would you get a drink?
Wow.
1.1. Well, you know when you see those big
now
Rio gigs?
I need to know
gigs?
Who, right?
Okay,
I know.
Ricky Martin.
That'll do.
I know.
That'll do.
No.
I honestly can't remember. I did know, but I can't remember. But it was a phenomenal. Like, I can't even, my head can't get in that space.
No. that many people.
No. But you see it, you know, you go on YouTube and you like any gig in Rio.
I've got Oasis at Nebworth was 500,000.
Yeah, I'm going down
the list. Four, Philadelphia drew 1 million. Rolling Stones, Copacabana Beach had 1.5 million in 2006.
Stones. I think it was the Stones, but it was 1.5 million. Oh, we're getting higher.
Jean-Michel Jarre.
Oh, yeah. 3.5 million.
In Russia.
In Russia, 3.5 million at a concert.
In fairness, there's not much else to do in Russia.
Wow. Okay. Rod Stewart's 94 New Year's Eve. Concert,
Rod Stewart.
4.2 million people. Rod Stewart.
I got the figure
wrong. Rio.
I was so gobsmacked. It was Rod Stewart.
Rock and Rod.
So, okay, the best part about this is you got all the cool gear going on, but the record breakers are the Seekers and Rod Stewart.
What the hell?